I wanted to tell you a story. When I was a little kid, I always wanted to grow up and be in the space program. I wanted to be a part of space exploration. And I watched everything I could find on television about all the early missions, and I was reading everything I could read, and I was building model rockets, bigger and bigger model rockets all the time. And you know, I would save my allowance up to buy a bigger one, and I'd go wash cars and mow lawns so that I had more money so I could feed my habit. I'm telling you all this because in order to make New Horizons fly fast, we had to do two things. One was we had to build a small, compact spacecraft that was very light, and then we bought the largest launch vehicle anybody would sell us. The most powerful launch vehicle in the U.S. inventory then was called the Atlas V. And not only did we buy the biggest vehicle, we bought it with every tricked-out option that's available. You have no idea how much fun this was for me and the team that got to do this, because all of us were like, we get every upgrade. We get all the solid rocket motors. We get the bonus third stage. We get the lightweight nose cone. We get all that. And if you take a very large rocket and max it out on performance, and then you put this little spacecraft on top, it's really hard to describe. The nose cone on this rocket is large enough to launch school bus-sized satellites like the Hubble. And we put something the size of this desk in it. So more or less, we took this massively powerful rocket and we launched it more or less empty, which makes it really accelerate and get to very high speed. So to show you that, I'm going to show you a video of our launch back in 2006. How many of you have been to the launch of a space shuttle or a satellite or an interplanetary mission? A few of you. They're really impressive. If you get a chance, go see one. You can see them in Kourou in South America for the European Space Agency. You can see them in places in Asia for the Japanese and Chinese space programs. See them in Russia, or you can go to Florida. But you need to go see one because they're unbelievable. The Atlas V is 70 meters tall, so it's as big as many of the downtown skyscrapers here, except the downtown skyscrapers don't take off and go supersonic in half a minute. This thing does. So I want you to watch the video. It just runs for a little while. Watch how fast the rocket comes off the pad. You'll see it clear a deck of clouds just about 10 seconds after launch. Those clouds are 10,000 feet. So picture a downtown skyscraper that's at 10,000 feet in 10 seconds. Let's run the video.
Status check.
Go Atlas.
Go Centaur.
This is Atlas Launch Control at T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition and liftoff of NASA's New Horizons spacecraft on a decade-long voyage to visit the planet Pluto and then beyond. On its way to the very edge of our solar system.
Shortly, you'll see the solid rocket motors finish their job and separate. And each of those is about 20 meters tall. They're big. Now, because we've shed all that weight, the rocket can really accelerate even faster. At this point, we're already above the Earth's atmosphere. What has it been, 60 seconds? And so we shed the nose cone because we don't need that aerodynamic shape anymore. We're in the vacuum of space. New Horizons is at the point in the sphere, just being accelerated to Earth orbital speed, 18,000 miles per hour. That cloud, that was the last time we saw New Horizons, right? In 8 minutes, we went from the beach in Florida to being in Earth orbit at 18,000 miles an hour. And then, before we do this, I want to say we had to fly around the Earth to the mathematically calculated injection point to fly us out to Jupiter for that gravity assist. And there we relit the second stage and burned it, all of its liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen, and then ignited the third stage solid rocket motor, which took us up to very high speed. New Horizons became the fastest spacecraft ever launched that day. It was moving so fast that we got to the orbit of the moon in 9 hours. By comparison, Apollo missions that launched at 25,000 miles an hour, that's not slow, took 3 days to do that. We did it in 9 hours. We launched at 2 p.m., and by 11 p.m., we had passed the orbit of the moon. And we were off on the fastest trajectory ever sent to Jupiter, 500 million miles away. We got to Jupiter 13 months after launch, in February of 2007. And then went off across the great middle solar system, the orbits of Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, 2.5 billion miles. It took us 8 years to do that. In our country, that's 2 presidential administrations. It's a long time. Yeah. And being the fastest spacecraft ever launched, we're traveling 1 million kilometers per day. I just found out about 2 months ago that I'm a 2-million-mile flyer on United Airlines. And I calculated New Horizons basically did that the first day. It took me my entire career to fly that many miles. So in this diagram, you see the little red line. That's the trajectory of New Horizons in this cartoon. And we were aiming to intercept Pluto, which was coming into position. We were aiming for where Pluto would be in July of 2015. So we flew by Jupiter. We did a great job. We used it as a flight test. We tested all of our instruments, all of our systems, how we track moving targets, many other aspects of things, software that we would need, processes and procedures that we would need for the exploration of Pluto. We produced a great scientific result, 700 different observations using all 7 instruments. These images are made by New Horizons. You see Jupiter and its volcanic moon Io in the foreground. These images are made by our color camera called Ralph that Michael described. And we made the cover of Science, which is kind of like the cover of Rolling Stone, if you're in my line of work. And then we flew off across this large expanse of space, crossing the orbits of Saturn, Uranus, Neptune. We crossed the orbit of Neptune in 2014, aiming directly for Pluto. And I like this little video a lot, except the very end, because it looks like we missed Pluto. We didn't miss. During those 8 years, we flew this mission with only 50 people to do everything. For comparison, when Voyager was flying out across the same part of the solar system, it took 450 people to run the project. Our science team, our mission operations, flight control team, our engineering team, the management team, public affairs, everybody, 50 people. That's like less people than just in that part of the auditorium over in the corner there. And we were super busy because we had to plan not just the flyby of Pluto, which was a 6-month flyby, but we also had to plan 3 backup flybys in case we'd found debris and had to dodge it to other aim points in the Pluto system. And we had to write malfunction procedures for hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of things that might go wrong. And then we trained our team, conducted mission simulations, looked at every skill set that each person had, and because we were a small team, cross-trained somebody for each task so that if somebody, God forbid, got run over by a bus or had a family emergency right at the time of the flyby, we had a backup person, just like we had backup radios, backup propulsion, backup systems on the spacecraft. And that actually happened. One of our engineers broke his back the year before flyby in a small plane crash. And thank goodness he wasn't the only person that knew how to run our ultraviolet spectrometer, because we wouldn't have been able to make it work at the flyby, and it was some of the most important science. We had a backup person. So we were really busy during those 8 years. We were not only operating the spacecraft, but also preparing for this one time, one chance, only one spacecraft, one shot. It has to work in July of 2015. And the flyby itself was a 2-year operation. 6 months flying up to the Pluto system, and then 16 months sending all the data back. And we took a massive amount of data. We flew the largest solid-state memories in the history of planetary exploration. And for comparison, we sent back 5,000 times as much data as the first mission to Mars. It took us those 16 months from July of 2015 until October of last year to get all the data back. And we prioritized it. We did it a smart way. We sent the most important stuff first, the least important stuff last. But it took a long time. And we finished up the encounter by getting the last bits of data to the ground, as I said, last October.